What is up? What is going on, everybody? This week, the only thing we're guilty of is giving all of you a good time. And we'll do it on the other side of the song. Welcome back, everyone, to another new episode of The Prequel. As always, I'm one of your three co-hosts, Ethan Klein, here with me, Mike Duranik.
How's it going, Ethan?
Oh, it's going well, because also with us is Brad Miller.
What up?
See, I had to just keep going with the saying your name first, Mike, because you're about to, in a couple minutes here, you're going to attempt to go for the clean sweep of the month. 5 for 5, holding serve on the Rotten Tomatoes game. So I think you definitely earned your name being said first.
Well, thank you. Brad is obviously used to me being dynasty-like in things, be it fantasy sports or the Rotten Tomatoes game. So we'll see if I can make it a clean sweep.
Yeah, so this week, as we mentioned last week, apparently we found out because I couldn't name them. This is the fourth time we're going to be entering in the world of Matthew McConaughey's filmography. My pick for the month of March here, The Lincoln Lawyer, the movie that, you know, many people, it got coined. It's the first time I ever heard someone kind of reference an actor or someone in this way, but the McConaissance. This is kind of the start of him going from the rom-com, goofy, funny guy into he wanted to someday win an Academy Award, which he eventually did with Dallas Buyers Club. And this was kind of that turn in his career, was right here with The Lincoln Lawyer. That was what kind of sent him in that direction. So we're going to go through that. And before we get too far into that, before we get into the Rotten Tomatoes game, I have to ask you guys a question, same question I ask every week, and that is, what was your first experience with The Lincoln Lawyer? Did you see this thing in 2011 in theaters? I don't think many people did. Did you catch it later on TV, on Netflix, something like that? Was this your first experience with it? If it was, did you know anything about it? And if you'd seen it before, what did you bring into the rewatch for this week's episode?
I have seen it before, but my boring answer is that I have no idea where or when. So second time seeing the film, and just kind of had an overall idea of the film, but couldn't remember many of the details.
This is the first time that I had seen it, and I didn't really know anything about it other than the fact that it was not a John Grisham novel and yet was a legal thriller. And since it seems like, you know, for a good stretch there, almost every legal thriller that was adapted from Grisham novels, that made it stand outside a little bit. But really, all I knew about it was that you had talked about it a number of times, Ethan, and in particular when we talked about McConaughey in prior podcasts. And so I went into it with high hopes and was looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is an adaptation. I don't know if this exact story was from one of them, but it is a novelized character. This character, the Lincoln Lawyer character, is in a ton of books. And it's, if you've ever heard of the show Bosch on Amazon Prime, which I loved for the 6 seasons that it was on, the same author there. So I think it's Michael Connelly. He's had not quite the success of John Grisham, but I'm sure he's sitting very comfortably right now listening to this episode, since we're talking about something that came from his repertoire. But yeah, this is one that I saw. I purchased the DVD without seeing it back when people did those kind of crazy, insane things. I used to go to the mall when I was in high school in the FYE store, just kind of scroll through, see what was cheapest. You know, they repackaged the used DVD boxes and the little baggies, and you know, all of a sudden the DVD only costs like $6-7, and was a fan of Matthew McConaughey. I think this would have been around the time that I saw Time to Kill for the first time. So like, as a fan of Matthew McConaughey, I grew up, you know, watching Fool's Gold and The Wedding Planner and How to Lose a Guy in 10 days, because like, my mom is a big fan. So like, I had that knowledge of Matthew McConaughey. And then, you know, as we talked about when we did A Time to Kill, it was just like, oh, this guy can act. Like, this guy actually has something here. And then so I go to FYE and see, oh, look, he's in another lawyer movie. let me try that. Let's see how that goes. And then, and led to this, and I've been a fan ever since, and then picked it this month for the podcast. So let's do it, Mike. Let's see if you can go 5 for 5. If you can sweep the month, you're in the hot seat. You're on the throne there. You have to go first and tell us what the sitting Rotten Tomato score is of The Lincoln Lawyer.
Well, I've never done this way, but what I did is I laid this month out, and this was the highest rated movie for me of the month. I basically went through all of the movies and I stacked them that way. And I even stacked my Rotten Tomatoes guesses that way. And so last week we did I Love You Man, which I had at an 80. I have this higher than that. And so I have this as an 85. I think it is by far the best of the five movies that we watched this month. And so that's where I put it.
All I know is that nobody saw this thing. So I'm going to have to say an 84 just because I don't think it's nobody saw it, but the critics loved it. Like, I just think nobody in the world saw it and it just never got talked about. So I'm going to say 84 for the game and hope that I'm wrong, because I definitely have it up above that. But Brad, did Mike just go 5 for 5?
Well, I believe Roman Reigns has held the title for like something like 900 days.
Oh, yeah,
and just about lost to Sami Zayn last week at I don't even know what the pay-per-view was that they did. But anyways, because you bear a strong resemblance to Sami Zayn with the red hair in a shocking turn of events, Sami Zayn pulled the upset and knocked off the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, and the correct score is 83.
Oh.
So you won just barely, but he left you enough room to sneak in there and steal the win.
All right.
Well done, Ethan. I'll have to come back in a future month and try to run the table.
Going 5 for 5 in one night, because we record these back to back to back, that would have been quite the feat. So still a tip of the cap to you for the 4 in a row, but I'll happily take my victory into the month of April. But yeah, so 83% on Rotten Tomatoes. And so the question being, is Rotten Tomatoes correct? And the way that I'm going to start looking at these questions is, like I said, for me, something crosses the 80% line, that's something that I actively start searching out the rewatch. And by that token, I think this is 100% correct. If I was just going to say a gut feeling, a number, Mike, it would have been the number you started with. I would say that this is an 85 type movie for me. I really, really enjoyed this movie the first time I saw it. And I think I've only grown to appreciate it since. I think kind of what we'll get into, you know, courtroom drama, it's tough, right? Like something like A Time to Kill, there's that extra, what pulls you in is, of course, like the just how that story is going to play out with all the racial tensions and kind of the dramatic acting, things like that. Other John Grisham novels, what pulls you in is the twist, right? Like, where does this go? And this one, they don't really try to hide, if you want to call it a twist. It's not much of a twist. That's not the point. The twist, I guess, is how is this unique situation going to unfold? Because I've never seen a movie like this. I've never seen this look at the courtroom drama. And I think it was fantastic the way that they did it. So I'll put that to you guys then. Is Rotten Tomatoes correct?
Well, the twist was in the middle. You know, the twist was, hey, this guy is friggin' smart and hired him as his lawyer, so none of this can be used against him because his lawyer can't share it, you know. So like, but then he got outsmarted by McConaughey through the second half of the film. But no, to me this number is not correct. You guys both enjoyed this movie more than me. I think that to me it's you know, it's okay. Like I wanted to like this more than I did. But I left it kind of thinking like, wow, you've got McConaughey, Cranston, Tomei, you know, the best actor ever in Trace Adkins, you know, like it's got this, who did I leave off? Oh, Bill Macy. Like, you know, this is a heck of a cast. And I just, to me, there was just something left to be desired. I'm not a Ryan Phillippe fan, and I think that takes away from it for me. But I think there was just, when I think McConaughey and I think 85 and higher, I'm going with True Detective, you know, like that is, or, you know, Dallas Buyers Club. That was up there for me, you know, like that's a great job of acting by him. I think this was just, you know, he got to kind of play himself, play this kind of cool, macho guy. It's kind of the same character in A Time to Kill, in a lot of ways. So like, to me, it was okay. Mike said it was far and away our best of the month, which is why he rated it where he did. I actually had I Love You Man one spot higher. So if I think I Love You Man was not scored properly at 83, I can't say that this was at or whatever, wherever that ended up being, and this being 83. To me, this is more of a 69, 70, 71, somewhere in there. So, yeah, I think it got rated to me based on what it could have been, not what it ended up being.
Yeah, and I think that, again, being a huge John Grisham fan, I've read almost all of his books. There's a couple that I still have of his newer ones sitting on the shelf to read. I go into these enjoying them, but what I think in terms of why they have this properly rated, I would not put it in the 90s, but I think the low to mid 80s is about right. Is I think that this was a better adaptation of a legal thriller than any of the Grisham adaptations. I would be more likely to watch this again than A Time to Kill or The Pelican Brief or The Firm, the one with Tom Cruise. And I enjoy all of those. Those are fine films. I just think that this is a cut above in terms of some of the, you're trying to figure out where is the hook. And then, as you know, you mentioned, then the back half of it is him figuring out how to get out of the position that he got himself walked into. So yeah, I think that on the whole, it's just slightly better than that. I didn't have it like wildly high. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't one of my top 50, top 10 movies, like it probably, you know, would be for Ethan, but I had it sitting at 35. And so, it made it inside the top 40 for me.
Yeah, I think, like I said, just what's always brought me back to it is just the unique, I've never watched another legal thriller where the hook is that the lawyer has to figure out how to get a guilty verdict for his client. I thought that was unique, and I think everything that plays together, I think, you know, because, again, like I said, so Ghost to Girlfriend's Past comes out in 2009. Matthew McConaughey has nothing come out for 2 years. Then this comes out, and he starts this run over 5 years that goes like Lincoln Lawyer, Mud, Dallas Buyers Club, True Detective, and Interstellar. I mean, in my lifetime, that's quite a 5 year fastball that not many people could match. Maybe this is the least of the performances, but again, this is him just suddenly one day saying, I'm not a romantic comedy actor anymore. I'm going to win an Academy Award. Would he have won it for this? Absolutely not. But to just suddenly flip that switch, and this is just his attempt to dive into that world, I think it's still really impressive. And they did a good job of surrounding him with, I mean, Bryan Cranston. This also has a feel to me. I think this probably got filmed. Maybe this got filmed around 2009. This kind of has a feeling of one of those that happens a lot. Movies get filmed and shelved and kind of held on to. Because I think if this actually got filmed in late 2010, Bryan Cranston would have had a bigger role because we would have been right in the middle of Breaking Bad. So that also just kind of leads me to believe that this was probably shelved for a couple years after it was made. But still, that being said, Cranston is in this thing. Marissa Tomei is an Academy Award winning actress. She's in this. Like, they surrounded him with a ton of talent, and they all did their job, and I think he did his. Even Michael Pena, who's always known as being so funny, the two scenes that he's in are fantastic. Him, the flashback scene where he's crying and begging him to believe him, leading into then that you see him just a couple minutes later, just that stone cold, hard, angry person. I'm not just saying stone cold because he had a shaved head, if we're just going with the WWE references. But I just thought everybody did a really good job, and I liked watching him try to work this problem in his head.
Yeah, I think something you said there makes a good point. Like, because this was the beginning of that run, I don't think he knew what his ability was, and I think had this come at the end of that run, I watched this knowing what Matthew McConaughey is capable of, and he doesn't hit it here to me. So I think that took away from it. Had this come at the end of that run after, you know, some of these other ones, and he knew, okay, I'm a special actor. Like, I'm one of the best. I can do comedy. I could do romantic comedy. I can turn around and do this stuff. Like, I think it could have been up there, maybe even talking top 10 films, for one of us or for the show. But I think because he was not quite sure of what he was capable of, and I think that comes through in his acting in this one.
It's fair. So besides McConaughey, then I guess let's do it this way, because I mean, we've talked about him before and we don't need to go through his whole filmography again. Let's specifically focus on the four we've done. If you guys have your list in front of you, where does this go in terms of the other McConaughey's? Brad, I guess I'm assuming this is going to be the number four, but I'm curious kind of how you guys have that.
Well, far and away, Interstellar's
yep,
the highest. Let's see what else we have here. Kind of going through to see.
You're looking for Mud and A Time to Kill then too.
Mud is slightly ranked higher on my list than this one, and Time to Kill is lower. I think the reason for that, and I think Mike talks about this a lot, is A Time to Kill is at 40, Mud is at 44, and then this one comes in at 51. So it is number four, but I would say, you know, those three are kind of all right there in the same ballpark between A Time to Kill, Mud, and this one. So coming in at number four, but 2, 3, and 4 are just the same tier, and then well below Interstellar.
Yeah, there's a huge gap between Interstellar and this. This is my second one. And then A Time to Kill is third, and then Mud is fourth for me.
I think, again, as someone who has to do a little more work on his list, I would say Interstellar, agreed. Interstellar has to be, I mean, it's miles and miles ahead. And honestly, that movie just gets better the more I think about it. This, to me, I don't know if I would have it above, in between, or below both of the other two, but I think this is definitely the easiest rewatch of the other three. You get Interstellar, again, huge gap, but this is, what is it, like an hour 45. It's quick. It gives you that hook early. You get through it. You're in, you're out. It's McConaughey being dramatic while still being fun. Like, Mud is a very slow burn, you know, kind of darker, sadder movie. And then, of course, like A Time to Kill, like, obviously, Time to Kill can be tough to get through for large portions of that movie. Great as it may be, there's a lot of that that's tough to watch. So I think this is definitely the easiest rewatch once you get past Interstellar. Who else? Let's talk about some of those other people just real quick. Outside of McConaughey, who stood out to you guys, kind of MVP or just like most important person that they ended up putting around him?
Well, just because I kind of have to, out of obvious reasons, Marissa Tomei is up there, but Bill Macy, I think, is definitely underrated as an actor, and I think that I'm glad he popped up in this, because we don't get a lot of chance to talk about him. And then, of course, we all know what Cranston's capable of, but I think I would give the official award of runner-up to Bill Macy.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that Macy was just a pleasure throughout this entire thing. Every time he was on scene or on screen, and that's the epitome of, like, you can see the characters working, because when he died, I felt crushed that we weren't going to get more scenes with him. I felt robbed that we weren't going to get more scenes with him. And so that was effective in terms of a hook, but certainly because of how exceptional his performance was.
Yeah, I agree. He is. And I think that, Mike, that point you just made too, I remember the first time I saw this, that's not something I saw happening in this kind of movie, having to lose like a side character like that. And that is when the movie does start to kind of twist and turn, obviously. But that it sucked that he did. I do want to just give that credit, though, to Marissa Tomei. I think she's fantastic. I love the way she plays this. I've always been a huge fan. I mean, obviously, My Cousin Vinny. We've mentioned a few times on the show how much I love that movie. Going back to that, you know, I loved the fact that she ended up in the Marvel movies. And I think in this, just from that first scene, that look that she gets on her face when she realizes that McConaughey is taking this case, she plays it really cool. Like, you can tell, like, she's really good at her job, even though she's going to have to take a sidestep on this one. And then I love their interactions. It's a weird relationship. Obviously there's tension there. They're divorced, or I guess, I don't know if it ever really says that they were married, but whatever, they have a daughter together and they're not together anymore. But I think she does a really good job of playing the other side of that coin to him, while also still clearly being like the most important person in his life, short of his daughter. And I think they do a really good job there. I guess, you know, kind of comparing it to, there's like a similar relationship type in Outbreak that we started the month with. I'm going to assume that you guys bought this relationship way more than you did Rene Russo and Dustin Hoffman.
Yes, oh, yeah. I would agree with that.
Once again, they're the head nodding. I love it. I love seeing you guys respond. It doesn't carry through the microphone quite as well. Why do you think that? I mean, is it, I know, Brett, like, I mean, we kind of joked about it. We said that Rene Russo is just out of Dustin Hoffman's league, so that made it hard for you. Nobody is out of Matthew McConaughey's, or nope, that's not how I want to say that. Matthew McConaughey would be in everybody's league. Is it? I don't know. I might just be stroking out. Matthew McConaughey is really good looking, and so too is Marissa Tomei. So we're not worried about that here, but like, what was it? Why does this work then? Like, what makes this work?
I mean, I guess for me, it's, you know, similar. I don't know the age difference between the two, but I guarantee it's closer than Rene Russo and Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
Like you said, they're both gorgeous people, and that matches too. And you know, of people that we hold in high regard that are also attractive, like, she's one that you can actually say, okay, like, is he you know, hitting a home run here, or is she? And for just to be able to question that and not know the answer, it, I think, is what makes something like that work when you're talking on screen. And I think that just their ability to play that tension of, they played the tension of, we had a past relationship, but now we share this daughter, but now we're not together. They just played that so much better than the other two did, in my opinion. So it just, yeah, just much more believable. But I think it was based on the performance that they gave.
I think for me, the biggest thing that I just believed from the moment it started, they end up like actually verbalizing it later, but I believe that these two people probably still love each other and just both are aware of the fact that they will never get over that she's a district attorney and he's a criminal lawyer. Like, they played that so well. Like, they are probably the perfect people for each other, except for this one thing that's really, really, really important.
Yeah, I think that the way that at least the way I imagine the relationship from watching it is, you could have seen them like early on in their career. They had, you know, sexual chemistry. And so it was lust that maybe turned into love that then turned into, we can't make this work, because while on nine, like you said, 95% of this works great, there's the 5% where I you're so gifted and talented professionally, and yet I can't agree with what you're doing. And so there's like that begrudging respect, and yet there's the line. And so I just think that they also just play better off of each other, right? So it's chemistry on the screen. For the same reason, like you said, that we didn't see the chemistry on the screen in Outbreak to that degree, you did see it here, and it made you care about the relationships. It made you care when you thought that she was in danger or their daughter was in danger, and so it just played better.
Yeah, agreed on all fronts. I do think too. I mean, Brad, I know that you said you're not a fan of Ryan Phillippe. I'm not either. Plays a great. Great villain. I mean, this is low key. Like, I forgot. Like, this is one of the most sadistic villains we've done. When you really break it down, like, the fact that he went to the trouble to find the lawyer that represented the last guy he framed to represent him. And basically, I mean, he didn't admit that he was guilty until McConaughey figured it out, but he certainly wasn't hiding it. Like, this guy's up there is just like one of the all-time dickheads.
I think the thing that takes away from that, though, is they blurred the lines later on in the movie of, is he pulling the strings or is his mom? And I think that actually took away from his credibility as a, criminal mastermind or how sinister he really is. I don't know how necessary that was, other than it kind of shows to how he got to where he is in life that his mom was pulling all these strings for him. But I agree. Similar to the Ed Norton character in the movie we did. What's that? Primal Fear.
Yeah.
I enjoyed his performance. I wish it was somebody else. I just cannot root for that guy. Like, not root for him as in he was a good guy in the movie, but just I need him to go above and beyond to win me over, and I wish that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job in this. I'm not a huge fan, but I'm also not necessarily opposed to him. When I think of Ryan Phillippe, I will always think of I Know What You Did Last Summer, very early in his career. And I would say that this is probably, just off the top of my head, I don't have his filmography pulled up here, but probably one of my favorite movies, maybe my favorite movie that he's been in. What else should I put ahead of this, Ethan?
I'm sorry, did you say for Phillippe or McConaughey?
For Phillippe.
Oh, I've never seen the I Know What You Did Last Summer movies. I never saw the TV show he was in. I just know that I think he cheated on Reese Witherspoon, real life. Not that we get into that too often. And if someone is actually dumb enough to cheat on Reese Witherspoon, like, you just don't need to kind of be taking up the air that the rest of us could be using. Like, that's once you reach that peak, like, you need to just understand where you're at and continue on with life. That's really the most I know about him.
I just scrolled his filmography, and I would say that this is probably, of the movies of his I've seen, probably my favorite movie, and so therefore probably my favorite performance by him.
There you go. Asked and answered. Oh, I mean, okay. I've only seen it once, but the film MacGruber does have like two of the scenes that I've ever laughed the hardest at in my life, and he is in it. So if you want to go with comedies, he is in that. But yes, this is definitely, if we're going to use this phrase, this is peak Phillippe. But Brad, you mentioned his mother, and I think as we kind of transition here into favorite line, favorite scene, that storyline with his mom did end up leading to my favorite line in this movie. And it is at the end. It's one of the last lines of the movie, but when Trace Adkins says, "You really shoot your client's mother?" Damn right I did. She shot me first. That was just like perfect. There's McConaughey being McConaughey. Like, he can still be dramatic. He can still, like, he can do that stuff. He could end up winning Oscars some days, of course, but he can still be like, all right, all right, all right. Like, he can still just kind of throw that in there for you. And I really enjoyed that. Like, sure, there's a ton of good, like, legal drama, back and forth banter. That stuff's great. But that, there's a reason I love Matthew McConaughey, and it's for lines like that right there. So, damn right I did. She shot me first is my favorite line.
Hospital, not the morgue.
Yes.
For the exact same reason.
Yep.
Just the way he delivers that.
Yep.
That's my favorite line.
Well, I don't have a line, but I will say that Ethan, to your point, the way he pulled off the performances in that led to us getting the nice commercials where he's, you know, driving around in Lincolns. It looks like he's rolling boogers on his fingers, you know, because he's just kind of like moving his fingers around, and he's doing that while he's driving in Lincolns and selling cars. So clearly those lines worked because he got some additional work out of that. But I'm interested. I have a couple scenes that I'm bouncing back and forth, so I'll go last. I want to hear what you guys have to say first.
Well, Mike, is your favorite scene involving your favorite line?
You know, it's hard for me to come up with a favorite scene, because what I want my favorite scene to be is one of the scenes with him and William H. Macy, right? Just because I enjoyed watching the two of them play off of each other. Okay. But as I sit here, none are like just rushing straight to the forefront of my mind. And so I have to punt on this one, and I'll hear what you guys have to say.
I love another, I mean, this is just a line, but I love, and I've used this before. This is, we talked about, you're going to arrest me for smoking from Basic Instinct, make it into just regular life. I have used, I've got a bat over there if you really want to beat yourself up. I've actively looked for reasons. I just think that's a fantastic line. I'm torn. I was hoping that you would just go with the scene that was surrounding your line. I think that's the most badass scene of the movie. Just the fact, because you expect, like, if there's going to be a fist fight now, right? We get to see this. Like, no, we're just going to watch a bunch of bikers beat the hell out of this guy. Like, that's cool. But the best scene of the movie, I do think, is when the jailhouse snitch gets on the stand, because it hasn't been revealed to us yet how McConaughey is going to figure this out. Yes, like, they've said in the background that guy's a snitch, like, they've kind of laid the foundation, but, and we knew that his other client talked to him, but you don't know why or what or how it's going to be. And as he starts asking more questions, and the guy, the other DA, because Josh Lucas, we haven't even talked about him, he's an asshole in this too. Like, he's no saint. And so not only is he getting Philippi in trouble, he's also getting the DA in trouble. And just how calm and cool he is. Like, how am I doing this? You tell me how I'm the one that's making this happen. And the way that all plays out, I mean, that's just him outsmarting 15 people at the same time. You see Bryan Cranston and that other detective at the same moment kind of give each other a look like, oh God. Like, I love that they were in on it. I'm glad that everybody was just smart enough to kind of start to see, like, this is what's happening here. Okay, let's check this out. I thought that was the most well done scene for how they decided to do this movie.
Yeah, I mean, mine's the other one you referenced. I think that, and this is also the difference between Dustin Hoffman and him in those roles, is that, you know, to see him sitting there on the porch, you perfectly believe that he's going to defend her and defend his daughter at any means necessary. But he's also smart enough to know, I can't get my hands dirty with this. So, you know, I'm going to be here just in case. I'm going to protect my family. But yeah, these guys are going to take you out. And it's just, it, even though he didn't do the work, it's still badass. And it's still just a great scene. And it was just fun watching Ryan Phillippe get the crap beat out of him. So, yeah, good scene all around.
Just that look when he pulls the gun out and he's just sitting there staring at Phillippe. Like, you know what? Like, I know, you know, there's guys that are certainly bigger than Matthew McConaughey and probably better fighters than Matthew McConaughey, but I'd be perfectly fine if that's who I have to count on to defend my life. Just that guy right there, just that look on his face when he pulls that gun out. That's about as cool as someone can look in a given moment. He pulls it off. And that's why he is who he is. Hope he gets back to that peak sometimes. The last few years, once you get past Interstellar, it's been slipping for a few years. So I hope he can get back to this right here. But that'll do it. That'll wrap up not just Lincoln Lawyer, but our month of March, everyone. And next month, we're going to be rolling into the month of April. And look, I think we should just go for it. I think we should just kick it off with one of the, now that Avatar 2 has come out, I think the fourth biggest movie of all time, and that is Avengers Infinity War. The Ethan group pick of the month of April with Avengers Infinity War. It was, you know, we talked about it during Black Panther. So it just had to happen. Here we are. So that's what we'll do next week. If you haven't seen it, if you're one of the five people on the planet that haven't, go check it out. It's on Disney Plus. It's free. You're welcome, guys, for forcing me. That's free. And what was that for?
You're paying for a service. It's not free. But
well, okay. You don't have to pay extra money this month. But that's it. That'll do it. Go check out Avengers Infinity War. Be ready for next week. This week was the Lincoln Lawyer. Other than that, guys, for Mike, for Brad, I'm Ethan. And we'll see you next time.